Hey friends, let me jump in here real quick to remind you of our sponsor, 25 Transportation and Solutions. That's 25 Transportation and Solutions. They give you quality transportation, delivery services that you can depend on, getting your freight to and from its destination safe and secure. Contact them at info@25.org. That's info@TWENTY5.org, or you can call them at 240-479-6376. See you out on the road. Now, let's get back to our episode of the Truth and Coffee Time podcast. Back to let you know that I really can't let you go. I'm too close to you. So stay by my side, like I stay on your mind.
What time is it, Mink?
It's Truth and Coffee Time.
Hey friends, welcome to the Truth and Coffee Time podcast with Diverse Love. I am Denise.
And I'm Brian.
Get your coffee or whatever your cup of joy is and settle in for some bold conversations, some random topics, a few cuss words, and a whole lot of us. Brian,
let's go.
Next to my best friend and see what dry like toast energy he's
bringing.
Are you
being all sentimental?
Oh, you think that's sentimental?
Just be next to my best friend.
Did that sound like that? Is that how it sounds?
Yeah, and not marine like.
Hey, it's some soft spoken, love talking, pillow talking marines out there. We do that too.
Okay. I only met a couple.
And it wasn't me, huh?
And it wasn't fella talking.
It wasn't your tomboy wife.
Whiffy.
And matching energy this morning, I posted on our social media in my new Marine Corps cup.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
It really is a cool cup. It really is. And now, this morning you said something key. You said now you have your own cup that I technically cannot drink of, meaning yourself can't drink out of, because we both had our different journeys within our veteran life. And our journeys was, although similar in the fact that everything we did, regardless of what we did, was for our country and to preserve freedom and protection for our country, but how we went through that journey was greatly different. Your journey
selfless service.
And yes, our selfless service, but your journey in the military was very different. And I know that we have a podcast topic coming out that's going to talk about our times in the military and the differences in those times as we were in there, how we felt then and how we feel now,
right?
You know? So I won't go into that now, but I do love my cup. And I do love the time that I served. And every time I look at this cup now, it's just going to remind me of that time and why I did it. My why was so different then than it was once I got in, you know?
I get it.
Yeah.
Some people are running, and then they get in, and then they get their why.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But today, Mr. B. Oh, wait. Halloween is on the verge of coming, and, you know.
Let it come so we can get this candy out of this house.
Wait. Speaking of candy, didn't you give me some Snickers or something last night?
Yeah,
I hid them.
No, they probably got stolen.
Mm-mm.
By the little one.
Mm-mm. I'm going to kick them out. They took my Snicker bar. I'm going to kick them out. But I love and hate Halloween. Hate it because of all the damn candy that's everywhere, because all I want to do is eat. And then I mean, I hate it for that reason, but mm-hmm. I love it because I get to see all these kids dressed up, and our kids kind of go all out. Our neighborhood is crazy. Yeah.
And because they have like Jell-O shots.
Yep. I was going to say, and then our neighborhood, they cater to the adults too. So when they giving the kids their candy, they're giving the grown-ups their candy.
Yeah. Swing by.
So we have one neighbor that they don't have any kids. But they are like the biggest celebrator of the community when it comes to the different holidays. Mm-hmm. And their yard is always decorated so beautifully. And they just love, they love on all the kids in the neighborhood. And all the kids know them, you know, Mr. and Miss. You know, I won't say their name on the podcast because we haven't, you know, gotten their permission to do so. But all the kids love them. And they're always...
They got the good candy.
Wondering. Too. And they always have the good candy, you know.
I wonder across the street.
They always have the good candy. And you know what? What I've noticed too, and I think I was talking to her about it, the kids notice everything they have in their yard, all the decorations, everything, because if they add something or omit something, the kids are like, wait a minute.
Where's that?
Where's this? Last year you did this. Oh my gosh, you added this year, you know? So, that's pretty cool. They set a standard sometimes, because sometimes a lot of the neighbors are like, no, you know what? I'm not going to put all that stuff up this year. But then our neighbor with no children
puts it up. Yeah.
Put up all this stuff. And you're like, we got to put our stuff up. You know, so it's really good. I hope everyone has a very cool, happy, exciting, and safe Halloween. I did notice that there are some things going around about candies that are not truly candies, and they're dressed up to be candies, but they're like paraphernalias or drugs or of some sort. So it brings you back into the day. Make sure you check your kids' candies mm-hmm. before they eat them. And then let your kid know that they are not to eat the candy on the trick-or-treat walk journey. They are to leave the candy in the buckets or the bags or whatever it is and bring it home so you can check it. And it's really crazy. When I was growing up, Brian, I don't know if your mother or grandmother said this to you, but when I was growing up, my grandmother, everyone knows my grandmother raised me, but she would tell me when I got home, I have to check your candy before you eat it. And she would say things like, you know, people put needles and razors and stuff in your candies, because people would give away fruit and all kind of stuff. And I just thought that was crazy. Like, who in the world taking their time to put needles and candies and crap in kids' food? I mean, kids' candy and fruit. But it's true. I mean, she never found anything in mine, thank God. But that just stuck in my head that she would literally make you spread it all out on the table, and she would just go through it piece by piece, all the candies, all the fruit. A lot of times she would throw the fruit away, mm-hmm. you know, and she would say, no, you're not, that fruit was touched by someone else. We're not doing that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I find myself doing the same thing for our kids. I find myself doing the same thing for our grandjoys, you know. Now is like, let's spread it out. Let's go through all the candy, you know.
Do you do the same thing that your grandmother did? Take all the candy she would like?
Of course.
See, so it's a game. It's not. It's a game.
Like, you don't need this.
It's a game. You don't need five of them. Hold on. Let me get one.
You don't need five of them, Ken. You could do two. You know, I'm put these three away. You can get them later. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're my favorite ones. Yeah, but you know, some of the neighbors are old school, so they put that old school candy in there, like the Zero Bars and them Chico Sticks and them Sugar Babies and Sugar Daddies. These kids don't know what that is. I just go ahead and take that off their hands. Look. Wait, one more thing on Halloween, though. How the costumes have changed over the years. So just think about this. I don't know. With us, it was a plastic mask from like the Family Dollar, and that's it. That's all. My grandmother would go and get me like this 50-cent plastic mask with the rubber on the back that y'all, would pop.
Y'all was rich. We used linen. I would get a sheet.
Linen?
Yeah, sheet, cut two eyes in it, and then grab the pillowcase, take it off the thing, and run out the house. Look, there you go. See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Mom be pissed off because she got two holes in her sheet.
Okay, yeah. So our candy bag was a pillowcase bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that. But we had regular clothes, whatever clothes we had on, and that 69-cent mask or 50-cent mm-hmm. mask. And the rubber would pop on the back of the mask halfway through the trick-or-treating journey. And we would have to thread the rubber back through the little hole in the mask and tie a knot in it, get it real tight so we could put it, you know, put it back on. And there wasn't no black face mask. So I'm running around here with my whole black body and my you know, meager clothes with this.
That's Alabama.
This white face mask on of whomever it may be. It was just a ridiculous time, but you know.
Oh my God.
Just looking ridiculous just to get that candy.
It's because there's not. Come on now. It ain't no black serial killers out there.
Just looking crazy. We were just looking crazy.
And
now
then, Freddy Krueger.
I know.
Them's all white people.
And so then skip up to our kids.
Jason.
Skip up to our kids. We didn't white want people. Them. Can't say you. Skip up to our kids, and we didn't want them to be anything scary. Like, no, this is going to give you nightmares. You know, we're not going to do that. So they would be walking around here dressed up as flowers and...
No, they weren't dressed up as anything. We didn't do that at all. We were overseas.
No, when we started doing it, though. We started back doing it, they would be dressed up as, like, flowers and happy pumpkins and all these little things. And then our grandjoys came.
Tinkerbell.
And our grandjoys came, and it was like, if we going to do Halloween, we going to do Halloween.
I don't know. This year is going to be interesting.
Yeah, but they're like zombies, and I remember for 5 years straight, Tadaya was a zombie something. Remember, like, 1 year she was a zombie cheerleader. Mm-hmm. Then she was a zombie waitress. Then she was a zombie gymnast or gym teacher. Mm-hmm. She was a zombie witch. Like, for 5 years straight, she was like on this zombie. Everything was a zombie. It was like, hey, be a flower. Okay, can we make it a zombie flower? Mm-hmm. So this year we have some cool ones, though. Unicorn Queen and
I didn't see it. Sponge, I just paid for it.
SpongeBob.
Because it kept on flying to the front of the cash register. Buy this, buy that. I'm like, my God.
Okay, speaking of buy this, and we're going to get to our topic, y'all. I just saw something on social media. I'm letting all the women know out there, all the wives, partners, whatever. I just saw something on social media. I know I digress, but when you said buy, that said, I believe it is tomorrow, it's supposed to be husbands buy everything that's in your wife's Amazon cart day. So I'm letting... Y'all should see Mr. B's face.
I seen the cart. That ain't a cart. Look like a distribution center if you buy all that.
You guys should see Mr. B's face.
What the hell?
I'm telling y'all, I saw the social media thing. It says tomorrow is husbands buy everything in your wife's Amazon cart day. Don't y'all forget it. Don't forget it. Today is a Sunday. And so it's the Monday before Halloween, or is Monday on Halloween? Maybe. I don't know.
No,
so,
that's Monday.
There you go. That's our Halloween treat. So if your cart doesn't have everything you want in it, y'all got time. Y'all got time. Go get your... I hope you understand the assignment.
If you see things just magically disappearing out your cart, don't get mad. I got to get it down to my budget.
All right, ladies. Quote, unquote, I hope you understand this assignment. I'm giving y'all time to get that cart game up. Oh my gosh. So what are we talking about, Mr. B? Stress. We are talking about how do you handle stress in your relationship. Mr. B about to open my Amazon cart and that stress factor about to go through the roof. All right. How do you handle stress in your relationship? And I'm going to be very transparent and honest with you guys. I don't handle it well. I am the worst. Me and Mr. B have this thing about who's in the boat when something, you know.
You always swimming.
Traumas happen to us or something stressful happen to us as a couple or our family or relationship. And I, most times, 96.9% of the time, I am not in the boat. I am not paddling. I'm not pushing. I'm half swimming. I'm not in the boat. And Mr. B is like in the boat, carrying us, handling us, and talking me out the water. So
it's cold out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know how everyone else handles stress. And we researched this a little bit because stress in a relationship brings the worst out of you because you don't know how to handle it. And we don't automatically have coping strategies. You know, we don't just go through our life and say, you know what, I'm going to build a coping strategy mechanism within myself to combat stress. It's like trial and error. And you're most times already in it, you know, when you figure out, wait a minute, stress did this, this, and this to me or to us as a couple. We got to figure out how to combat it. That doesn't resolve the problem, but it resolves how we respond to the problem. You know what I mean?
I'm more optimistic.
Yes.
So I don't have a lot of stress on me, even if it's there with extreme deliverables. It is what it is. I mean, we'll get it done. But yeah, if when I guess trouble hits you, mm-hmm. and it can come from different avenues in the house, outside the house, friends, enemies, frenemies,
yeah,
whatever. You just take it one step at a time. You need to know the end immediately. That's not
that's me. Yeah,
that's where your stress comes in. I process different. I take it from beginning to end. Not just we just go with it. Some things go away. Some things stay. It is what it is.
Yeah, some things are not resolved, and some things can't be resolved. I remember, excuse me. I remember when I was having a conversation with one of your Masonic brothers, and we were talking about, we were going through a very traumatic time. Me and you were,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking to me, and I said, I just want everything to be okay. And he looked at me and he said, but it may not be. Mm-hmm. He said, it may not be okay. So how are you going to handle it then? He said, sometimes things are not okay.
They never get okay.
And they just never get okay, you know, and you can't stay in that state of spinning out of control the entire time. It's not okay, knowing that it may never be okay, you know?
Sometimes when people come up on you, when you're going through your, I guess we'll say trial, and it could be anything, but they always ask you, what will they ask you? Are you okay?
Are you okay?
No, mm-hmm. I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even.
But what's even worse about that question? What's even worse about that question?
You got to revisit everything.
No, not even that. Yes, that's part of it. But most time, the person who's not okay answers back and says, I'm good. I'm okay. And they're clearly not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn this. We both had to learn this. Well, I more than you, because you'll say in a minute, I'm not okay, but I'm handling it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I'm not okay, we need to talk about it. You mm-hmm. know, but I will say, I'm okay, and just shut down and just shut the world out. When I'm not okay, you know, I'm going through something right now, and you know, and I'm not okay. And I actually stepped out on faith and talked about it with a person the other day who I admire so much. And she asked me the hard questions about myself. And at first I was going to answer her and say, I'm good. I got it. But I'm like, no, I'm not good. Mm-hmm. And I don't have it.
Right.
You know, this has been my anxiety this week has been the worst that has been in a long time. I haven't been in this kind of state in a while. And although I'm coping better and I'm handling it better because of years of figuring out how to cope with me and my anxiety, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it affects our relationship. And that's what we, that's what, you know, couples who have stress in their relationship, just because the thing is happening to you and you feel like, long as I keep it in and don't let it spill out, it won't happen to, you know, us. Mm-hmm. But you're wrong. Whatever you're going through affects your relationship, because whether you know it or not,
if your partner cares about your relationship
and if you're in tune with each other.
Yeah.
If you're in tune with each other, you got to be in tune with each other, because sometimes, you know, in the relationship, the person will say, are you okay? The partner will say, yeah, I'm good. And the person will go on about their business. Okay. They say they're good. They'll talk when they want to talk.
I don't get it when someone says, well, I never knew she was going through that, or I never knew he was going through that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you live with them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't visually, optically look at these people, mm-hmm. observe.
And know something has changed in right. their mannerism, the way they carry themselves, the way they answer questions,
mm-hmm.
how they start to short answer you, or there's so many telltale signs. They start doing stuff out of the ordinary, you know. Definitely, like you don't drink at all. I don't drink a lot, period. You know, I may have 4 or 5 drinks a year,
mm-hmm.
but if I have 4 drinks in a week, you're like, wait a minute, what the hell's going on? We don't drink like that. We don't even have stuff in the house. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So. Those were years past, but if we brought that back into the fold, you automatically know,
right?
Something is up. Something is wrong. And I know a lot of times you'll ask me, babe, what's going on? How you feeling? And I will say, okay. And you'll look at me and say, I know you're not okay.
But
I'm gonna give you your space. Mm-hmm. But you got until
12,
you know, to let me know what is going on, you know. So I think that when you're under stress, you snap, or either you shut down, but it affects the relationship, because stress brings the worst out of people. Mm-hmm. Negative stress brings the worst out of people. Now, I'm not referring to stress, work stress, or you working on your passion and you got to get this done. It's a happy stress or a positive stress, things that you're moving toward that's going to better you, your family, your relationship. I'm talking about that trauma, that traumatic stress,
life-changing stress.
If you don't talk with someone, it will eventually hurt your relationship. I mean, we saw a movie the other night where a couple had some tragedies in their relationship. The wife wouldn't open up with the husband. They ended up getting a divorce. It ended up breaking the relationship. Stress will break your relationship if you guys are not transparent, if you're not honest, if you don't talk with each other, if you don't try to come to some type of resolve with each other. But also know that whatever the issue is, it may not get fixed. And if it doesn't get fixed, then what? Then what?
Exactly.
You know? So we handle stress. The way we handle stress is, I don't handle it well. Mr. B is the optimistic one, you know, and he is the one with the voice of reason. I know you guys have seen me post stuff about him being the voice of reason. I promise you, y'all, that these 30-some years, he has been that person who talks me off of a ledge, gets me out of the water, puts me in the boat, and put a paddle in my hand and say, whether it's going to be okay or not, we paddling. Mm-hmm. We doing this. And we're going to do it together.
Your paddle skills, you know. you need some help, baby.
Yeah. But it's
don't worry about it.
But it's good to have a partner.
I will tell you that Aries think everything is going to be okay all the time. And you're a Scorpio and you guys are cool with that. But you need some data.
Yeah, we need to see. Like what's the percentage? What's the percentage that I may be at coming out of this okay?
We gonna come out of it okay. Just jump. That's an Aries. And Scorpio's like, I don't know.
That's true. Aries will say jump. A Scorpio will look down and say, and what's the percentage that I'm going to land and I'm going to be okay?
Are those rocks jagged? Yeah. Are those even rocks?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we were researching this about stress in a relationship, one said that the couple should change their scenery. Change your scenery. Take a break. You know.
What if you can't, though? What if you're in, like, today's society is not good for just packing up and changing your
financially. This is crazy.
Who's got $250 a night for a hotel? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people don't have it like that. That's not a changing your scenery is cool, but how can you change your scenery? What can you do go on a walk or something? Maybe that can change your do something that you don't have to pay for. Because today's society has you out here thinking that everybody's balling, and it doesn't happen that way.
Social media has you thinking that everybody's balling. At least we're not.
At least where I'm from or where I reside at. So it doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's a good observation too.
Yeah, the bigger your house is, the more taxes you're paying on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, even if you pay your house off, you still have a mortgage. It's called taxes and insurance. Yeah. So you'll always have something.
Yeah.
So changing your scenery, yes, but change it in a way that maybe you go see something, drive out somewhere, mm-hmm. or go around the block to the park, mm-hmm. or whatever. Just do something that doesn't bring the stress on you.
Yeah.
It takes it away from you.
Yeah. Because if you only have a little money, then you go spend it trying to change your scenery and go to the beach and get a hotel. Now you're stressing about how to pay that. Now you have more stress.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's perfect. Perfectly makes sense. The other thing it says was, if you're the cause of the stress in the relationship, own up. Accountability.
And I don't mean remove yourself. Mm-hmm. That means take responsibility for your involvement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how you're making it stressful.
Yeah. That's something that I can honestly say, that me and you will take ownership when it's one of us. Mm. You know.
You're harder to take ownership. You know what I mean?
God. Why are you throwing me under the bus like that?
I'm not say all women.
Yeah, it takes us a minute.
Even if you know you're wrong, you're like, I'm not gonna tell him I'm wrong.
Yeah, it takes us a minute to say we're wrong. But I do, so.
And then we're like, aha! You said you're wrong.
No, you don't say it out loud, but you walk away with that smile on your face like, I knew!
See, we're wrong.
The others say ask for help, or ask how you can be helped, you know?
Who likes doing that?
Yeah.
That's why people don't go
They don't want people in their business.
They don't want to go and get any therapy because mm-hmm. people, it's not that you're afraid to ask for help. It's almost like we're built not to ask for help because we've been taught from day one all the way up, you know, do this, do this, do this. And when you fall short, you don't ask for help.
Yeah. Hear them out. Instead of planning your defense, y'all need to talk it out. Don't be listening to them already on the defense. Like,
yes.
Especially because that stress may have nothing to do with you, but your partner has held that stress in for so long and treated you so bad that you have now personalized it and internalized it and thinking that it was me. I'm the one causing the stress. Mm-hmm. So
I agree with that. You have to have a listening ear first.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you come in there defensive, it shuts everything down before it starts.
Yep. It says consider the root. You need to figure out what is the root of the stress.
That's one reason why people don't ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to get beat up.
Oof. Stepping into going to get counseling. And we are advocates of counseling. Mm-hmm. So, but counseling, you got to understand, you guys, like I said, we are advocate of counselors. We have had counseling. Counseling opens up Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah, because if you don't want to find out what root cause is, don't go to counseling. Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you don't want to find out, if you do, go to counseling because it's going to narrow it down to what actually happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, but it opens Pandora's box to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It really does to get there because some people, I'm going through stress and I'm not communicating with my husband. Well, why aren't you communicating with your husband? I don't want him to judge me. Well, why don't you want him to judge you? Well, I don't trust him. Why don't you trust him? Oh, because this happened, you know, 2 years ago and broke my trust. Why did that happen? Like, it takes you back.
I know.
And you open Pandora's box just to get to what is happening with you right now that's causing the stress in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say outside factors isn't causing stress in your relationship as well, because anything could happen. You know, you could lose a relative, or you could lose a friend. You know, someone's in the hospital. You know, your car got repossessed. Finances, all these things, you know, are stress related things that happens in relationships that causes the strain on relationship. The statistic says that financial stress is one of the biggest, you know, things that causes divorce, breakups, or separations in couples. Even to this day, statistically, finances is the root of it all. And what people don't understand is just like you said, you know, honey, is that you have big houses, you have cars, you have this, and people think you got it all together. And some people, maybe they do. I'm not knocking them. Let's all win. Let's all eat at the table. But the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most truest statement ever. The more you have, the more you have to give, the more you have to do to maintain that what you have. You know, it's the same thing in a relationship. The longer you're in the relationship, the more you have to give to continuously retain that trust, that communicative, you know, efforts, those building blocks in your relationship. The building blocks come every time you hit a wall or hit a stress. You learn something new about your partner, and then you make a conscientious decision on whether you want to keep going.
Right.
You know, so. I will put this research link on the show notes, but you guys read it with the complexity, knowing that the content within this research may or may not apply to you, or how you can look at it and figure out if this applies to us in our relationship or not. You know, stress is huge, and it comes, stress is like the tree trunk. And then the branches are all the different ways that stress can come into your relationship.
The one thing that was explained to me when I had to go to the hospital because I was having heart issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about the time that I had PE and was down. And the lady who was talking to me said it's anxiety. Mm-hmm. And because your heart is fine. But anxiety will cause this same feeling. And I was like, well, I didn't know. I was like, at the time, it wasn't, why would I have any kind of anxiety. I was just sitting down and just doing a certain work. And she said, the anxiety starts hours or days before. Mm-hmm. And then that's just like a ripple. Like she explained it like an earthquake. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't happen altogether right then. It happens. It can happen 2 days ago. It could happen 3 days ago.
Later, after this.
It's like a tremor. Mm. And then you are sitting there just having a regular conversation with someone or by yourself or whatever, and you just start having this panic attack. And it's a tremor from what happened before. And I was like, wow, that's pretty deep.
Oh, my God. So you could be going through something weeks and weeks. Mm-hmm. And not get the anxiety attack until weeks after, mm-hmm. because all of a sudden now your body just fell into itself. Like it's just been ramping up and ramping up.
It's just now, all right, I'm going to calm down. Because she said anxiety is actually you combating your actual trial or whatever mm-hmm. you are going through. The anxiety part is trying to calm you down. Mm. It's either the rush of adrenaline mm-hmm. or it going away.
Wow. That's crazy. Because when you're in it and you have an anxiety attack or a panic attack, the first thing you think, but I'm not doing anything. I'm not going through anything.
Or somebody's right now, like, so, well, what's going on with you? Why are you? And right. then they, you know, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why are you going through this? And it turns out that really, you're not going through something now. You went through something a while back or a day ago or 2 days ago.
Checking on each other. I remember when I saw you have one of your first anxiety attacks. And a lot of that comes, too, from the PTSD. Mm-hmm. But seeing you from having one of your big anxiety attacks, we were in the midst of doing nothing. But I literally saw it coming on you. Like, I saw it coming in like a wave before it hit you. It was the strangest thing to see because we were in a normal setting, doing normal crap, you know, and I locked in on you because something looked different, mm-hmm. you know, and I actually saw it coming and I saw you doing your breathing thing to combat it.
Is that the time we had to get a hotel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you couldn't drive. You couldn't drive anymore. Or you could have, but I didn't allow sometimes. You
sometimes
to.
Sometimes things like that is debilitating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you don't have that, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
If you do have certain things like that, mm-hmm. then, I mean, you just need to, I would say get diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. And it's great to have people around you who understand that you have those, mm-hmm. You know, in a relationship. You're in tune with each other. Hopefully you are anyway, and you can see it coming on. But what about people who, you know, are single or their partner travels and they're not at home mm-hmm. and they have friends? Like, I don't have a huge circle, so I don't have a lot of people check on me at all. Mm-hmm. So they don't know whether I'm going through or not. Now I try to check on people. I'll just send a text, even if it's once a month or once every other month, to say, hey, just checking in, just checking on you. How are you doing? But if you don't have anyone just checking on you, you know, every now and again, people can go through anxiety and panic attack alone. And it is the worst thing ever because you don't have that connection, you know, with people who say they love you, but they don't take the time to check on you or they don't know you well enough to know, hey, Denise posted something on social media. They was and she act like she was okay, but she ain't look okay. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So you need people in your corner to check on you. Even if it's just like I say, like a simple text. I try my best to do it, and I purpose myself this year that I was going to do it, and I hope I've been doing it at least once every other month or something. Mm-hmm. I'll sit down and I'll go through 30 people and just send a text and say, hey, I'm checking in, but I just wanted to say hi, checking on you, you mm-hmm. know, hopefully and prayerfully, you know, that others are doing the same for their friend. So thank you, Mr. B. This was good. I'll put that on I'll put that research on the show notes. You guys check on each other, you know, relationships, marriage, you know, dating, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, be in tune with each other, best friends, be in tune with each other and, you know, check on each other. Because a lot of times our verbal, our audible may say we're okay, but our demeanor shows something otherwise. And it's okay to say you're not okay. Society has made us believe, especially social media, that we have to have it all together and we have to be all okay all the time. That is bull crap. Nobody is okay all the time. Even the most brightest, youngest, richest, most beautiful person is not okay all of the time. Look at the people that are committing suicide, people who you see, celebrities, and you see them happy, laughing with their family, doing things, and then all of a sudden you read something saying that they committed suicide. People are not okay, and it is okay to say you're not okay, because you never know. By saying you're not okay, someone may give you just the word or comfort or resource you need to help you to get okay. Mm. You know, we love y'all for real. And we're so very happy that you guys are continuing to check us out, to ride with us. Y'all know how to get in touch with us. You know, our website, our email. You know that you can leave a voicemail on Spotify for podcasters. We are still here. I don't know how long this podcast is going to be up and running, but I do know that we are here now. So check us out and ride with us right now. We love y'all for real, and thank you so much for hanging with me and Mr. B as we share our truth over coffee. Thank you, friends, for hanging with us. We got you. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, and also please follow us on IG, Facebook, and Twitter. Our social platform is at Diverse Love. That's DiverseLuv.
And don't forget, you can listen to our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcast fix.
Thank you, friends. We love y'all for real.
Okay, me, take us out.
It's Truth and Coffee Time. Help me not think about all my lows. Think of who you are sometimes. Girl, you always on my mind. Looking like it's Truth and Coffee Time. Tell me what you really want to know.